This time we're going to hear God's word, and Rich is going to read it for us. This comes from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, and verses 12 through 21. Now hear the word of the Lord.
When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now they were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in native languages of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language?" All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved."
And from 2 Timothy 1:6, "For this reason I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands." This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I invite you to join me in our prayer preparation. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. And there's a few prayer requests that I forgot, and I want to lift these up to you now. One is from Christina, prayers for Rosemary and her family currently in hospice, and from Suzanne for Laura as she finishes finals, and also from Suzanne for the Finelli family, blessings and congratulations on Jenny's graduation from Bergen Community College. So we lift these prayers up as well, and congratulations to the Finellis. That's wonderful news. Today we celebrate our confirmands. They have participated in missions and service. They have witnessed baptisms and received communion. They have even taken 2 years of classes with me. Anyone who can survive 2 years of classes with me certainly deserves to be celebrated. So we've looked at all kinds of topics, from God to Jesus to the Holy Spirit. We've looked at worship and ministry, baptism and Methodism, sin, faith, identity, prayer, and gifts. Each topic is important in its own right. We want our young people to understand their faith, to understand what it looks like and means to be a Christian. But there has been one focus I've stressed over and over in the classes. It comes from one key passage where Jesus is asked by the religious leaders of his time, what is the most important commandment? I wonder if our confirmands can answer it. Here it is, pop quiz for you. Jesus said the most important commandment is to love who? Who is it? Yeah, love God is the first one, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's the second one. So you are officially ready for confirmation. Congratulations. This is the fundamental core of our Christian faith. We love God, and we love our neighbor. Though there are lots of good things we could teach our young people, this is the central focus, because no matter what we think and believe in all those other areas, if we don't show love, we've missed the point. But one thing we don't always do a good job of is defining what it means to show someone love. Sometimes we think it means something like this. A husband and wife had been married for 60 years and had no secrets except for one. The woman kept in her closet a shoebox that she forbade her husband from ever opening. But when she was on her deathbed, with her blessing, he opened the box and found a crocheted doll and $95,000 in cash. My mother told me that the secret to a happy marriage was to never argue, she explained. Instead, I should keep quiet and crochet a doll. Her husband was touched. Only one doll was in the box. That meant she'd been angry with him only once in 60 years. But what about all this money, he asked. Oh, she said, that's the money I made from selling the dolls. Love isn't about being quiet and taking our lumps. Though people have wondered in songs and art forever what love really means, scientists say they are the ones who have finally found the very root of love. They studied the difference between marriages that succeed and those that end in divorce or bitter dysfunction. Marriage is the place where we can have the closest of human relationships, yet only 3 in 10 marriages are healthy, happy ones. So are you ready for the great secret? What does love come down to? The secret is to be kind. When someone talks to you, show interest in what they have to say. Show appreciation for others. Say thank you. Contempt, on the other hand, leads us to see negativity where there is none. It kills love and can even lead to a partner's inability to fight viruses and even cancer. If you want a happy, healthy marriage, if you want a happy, healthy soul, a life well-lived and full of the Spirit of God, you need to be kind. And that takes work. Being kind is like exercising a muscle. We have to use it even when we don't feel like it, even when we are down or tired or working towards a deadline. Be kind. In marriage, scientists can predict with 94% accuracy whether a marriage will be successful or end in divorce. I bet we could figure out something similar when it comes to people's faith. Do you turn toward God when trouble comes, or do you grumble and complain? If you turn toward God, I am sure you have a happier, healthier spiritual life. In Acts chapter 2, we see a huge group of people who all turn toward God. In that moment, they are saying yes to God. They recognize God's kindness towards them, and they do the same. They respond to God's call with love. And Peter, who is quoting the prophet Joel in this passage, he's saying something amazing here. He says, after all these signs from God, then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. God's salvation is available to everyone. It's open to anybody who turns toward God. Today, we are celebrating young people who have turned toward God. And the same opportunity is available to all of us here today. We can say yes to God today, and we can also say yes to other people too. Remember, this is about loving God and loving your neighbor. So we show kindness to all of God's people and all of God's creation as well. So let me share with you some of what this group of confirmands talked about in our last meeting together. The topic was, now what? We've gone through these classes. We've gone through different groups in the church. We are getting confirmed. What do we do after all of that? What is that next step for us? And the answer they came up with is this. We are going to live out this stuff we've talked about. We are going to pray, help others, give to the needy, evangelize, live by the Ten Commandments, take care of the environment. They even got specific and said they would go on the mission trip in the summer, volunteer with the food pantry, tithe to the church. Can you believe that, people? Our young people are going to tithe. I can't believe it. They're going to go to church and to youth group. They said they would share inspiring quotes with others and forward emails that encouraged others to love God and to love their neighbor. They talked about caring for pets through our church's animal ministry. They even want to host a video game night. That's where you invite all your friends to come and play a video game together so everyone is not alone in their basement. Instead, they are all together in the church's basement. Sounds good, right? I am so inspired by these young people and what they've talked about. If half of this happens, our church is going to be a happening place. We are going to be sharing God's love with a big world that is in desperate need of it. We are going to love each other and show it with specific acts of kindness. People's lives will be touched and transformed by these young people. I think that's what the day of Pentecost is all about. It's change that happens when we start loving people the way God loves people. As we wrap up, let me share something from each of our confirmands. Nicole's parents have said that she is a loving, hard-working, thoughtful, and sometimes silly girl. She wants to give back to the community. She volunteered last summer with the kindergarten camp, and her heart melted as she worked with those little ones. She's working toward her silver award in Girl Scouts by collecting gently used sporting equipment to donate to underprivileged children. This is a young woman who is showing kindness to the world. Ellie is unique among our confirmands. She has a mind for art and took me up on my offer to do her confirmation journal differently. She would read the scriptures and then find a picture that helped connect the ideas together. In Mark, when Jesus tells the rich man it's hard to get into heaven, Ellie thought of this picture. Here it is. She commented, "Getting into heaven isn't easy, but by committing yourself to God and dumping a little holy water on the devil, you'll manage." In another passage about Jesus' burial and resurrection, she thought of the tomb of the unknown soldier. She said, "These men gave their lives to protect our country, just as Jesus did to save humanity. They sacrificed themselves for the well-being of others." Ellie has connected the gospel to her own world. Ryan has been the quiet one in our group. He has been at the meetings, except in February when he goes to a wrestling tournament. Don't worry, he made up the classes that he missed, and he promised not to wrestle anyone in the confirmation class. His mom has volunteered with the group for the last 2 years, and I want to share an entry from his journal. Ryan noticed that Jesus said he would teach the disciples how to be fishers of men. Ryan has a teacher in his life, too, his father, who has taught him how to throw a baseball and how to ride a bike. See, Jesus is all around us. Jesus is at work in and through our moms and dads, through our brothers and sisters, through our church and even our schools. When we learn and grow, Jesus is there. He asks one simple thing of us, that we call out for help, that we turn toward him when things are good and when things are bad. That's what love is. It's kindness no matter what happens around us. My prayer is that today marks the start of an incredible journey for our confirmands as they learn to live with kindness in their hearts from this day forward. Amen.